The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
I'd like to take care of a number of issues that are left in Shmot. And I believe if we can really come to some understanding of this first parsha of the whole book, it will give us the foundation to understand the rest of it. So yesterday we dealt with the issue of why are the Jewish people being redeemed. Right? And today I want to deal with the issue of Moshe's strange actions. I mean, when you read this, it's really annoying. Like, why are you fighting so much? To the extent that the Midrash says that really Moshe stood there at this thorn bush and argued with God for 7 days. And like, why do you want it? It's a good job. I'm sure it's high-paying position. I'm sure there's fringe benefits. It is really so strange that I think without understanding this, we can't really understand Moshe and what he's really trying to do in the world, because this is really truly remarkable. And so in order to really appreciate how odd is his resistance, I want to go through the major psukim that shows how incredible is this anti, I don't want to go. And even when he finally goes, we end off this parsha with Moshe saying, why did you send me? Right? It's hard enough to understand Moshe fighting and finally he goes. But then when he finally goes and things don't work out exactly like it seems, don't work out exactly the way he perceives it, we end off our parsha with Moshe saying, what did you send me for? Right? I told you I want to go. It sounds like... So the whole thing is very strange. Why does Moshe not want to go? So let's first list the various, factors that he presents to Hashem upon which he uses to somehow evade this job. So the first thing we see is that when Hashem calls out to Moshe and says that I'm going to save the people, we read the verses and it's clear that God is going to save the people, and it is a function of complete compassion. A complete compassion. God is going to override the attribute of din, the attribute of judgment, and bring into the world compassion. So, the first thing is, Moshe says, and this is verse 11, chapter 3, V'yomer Moshe el Elohim. Moshe says to Elohim, Mi anochi ki elech el Paro. Who am I to go to Paro? V'ki yotzi et v'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. And that I should go to take them out. So his first presentation is, I'm not worthy, and they're not worthy. Now of course, just that kind of a question bothers us. I mean, if you don't think you're worthy, fine. But keep us out of it. I mean, if God is coming to you and saying, take us out, so then, what kind of question is they're not worthy? What is Moshe trying to do to us? And then it says, so God gives the answer. First, I want to deal with what he presents. Then Moshe says to Elohim, well, I'm going to come to the Jewish people and they're going to ask me your name. Right? Which, come on, Moshe. I mean, why is that so important? And so he says, so what should I tell them? I'm playing like, I don't know your name. How can I go? They're going to ask me your name. So Hashem gives them two names. Hashem reveals the name Ekya to Moshe. Elohim reveals the name Ekya to Moshe. And Elohim reveals the name Kevavke to Moshe. And also tells Moshe, according to the Gemara, that you do not pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? But you say Adonai. You pronounce something very different. Now the Gemara says, in this world, it's the Gemara in Pesachim, page 50. If something bad happens to you in this world, then you bless God and say, blessed is he who is a true judge. And when something good happens to you in this world, you say, blessed are you, God, who is good and gives good. However, in the next world, even on the tragedies, even on the sufferings, we will bless, blessed are you who is good and gives good. And right after that piece in the Gemara says, what is the meaning in that day God will be one and his name will be one? So what does it mean in that day God will be one, his name was one? It means that now in our days, God's name is not the same. Because in our world, we write Yud-K, but we pronounce Aleph Dalet. And therefore, that piece is referring to, in that day, God will be one and his name will be one, meaning how God is written and how God is called will be the same. That we will no longer say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. When we read that name, we will say Adonai. And those two Gemaras are connected. In this world, God says, I'm called, I'm written Yud-K, I'm pronounced Aleph Dalet. In the next world, in the future, I will be pronounced according to the way my name is written. Okay. So that's also another thing that Moshe is told. Moshe is told three very interesting things about divine name, and it's all being told to him by God as Elohim. God as Elohim is saying, my name is Ekya. God as Elohim is telling him, my name is Yud-K Vav-Ke. And God as Elohim is telling him that, although my name is Yud-K Vav-Ke, you don't pronounce that. Okay? Alright. The next attempt is, okay, so God says to him, you'll go to the elders, you'll go speak to, they'll listen to you, and you'll tell them that Yud-K Vav-Ke has revealed himself to me and told me to take the Jewish people out. And God says, and I know Pharaoh will not listen to you until I send my hand and I will perform miracles. Okay. And I will bring the favor of the nation upon the people. I want to skip that. We'll deal with that after. So then, right after Hashem says to him the names. And Hashem says, well, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go, you're going to speak to the elders, you know Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not going to listen to you, right? And that's okay because I'm just going to bring my hand and perform miracles. Okay? So, Moshe says to that, chapter 4, verse 1, V'yan Moshe responded, V'yomer, and he said, V'hein lo yaminu li, they will not believe me, V'lo yishmu b'kali, and they won't listen to me, Ki yomru, because they will say, lo nire alecha Hashem, God didn't reveal himself to you. So God says, okay, what's that in your hand? So he says, well, it's a staff, just throw it down, turns into a snake. Okay? Grab it by its tail, turns back into a staff. Then God says, put your arm into your cloak. Puts his arm in cloak, bring it out, it's leprosy. Right? Puts it back in, says, put it back in, comes out, it's fine. Okay? Then God said, and if they don't believe that, then take some of the water, and it'll turn into blood. Now, we know that this is a little strange. I mean, how could Moshe say this about the Jewish people? How could Moshe say they won't believe me? And we know, I mean, maybe he was just asking a question, but we know that he was punished for Lashon Hara. Right? They was punished for Lashon Hara. That he spoke not nicely about the Jewish people, and therefore, why was the symbol a snake? The symbol of snake, just like the first snake spoke Lashon Hara about God, so to speak. He said, God doesn't want you to be like a god. So, one of the signs was, even though this was a sign to show the Jewish people so they'll believe him, but there was another element which was punishment to show, Moshe, you have just behaved like a snake, right? And your staff has turned into a snake. Your staff, your position, your strength is now acting like a snake against the people. And we are also taught that leprosy is a punishment for Lashon Hara. And in fact, Rashi brings us down that when he's going to show the Jewish people this sign of leprosy, he's going to say to them, you see, I spoke Lashon Hara against you. Okay? So, believe me that God's with you, because he even got angry at me, right, for speaking not so honorable in your respect. Okay? And the blood has nothing to do with that. Right? Nothing to do with that. That is clear that the first two, God says, look at your hand, look at your staff, that the first two were for the people but were for him, but the third was really for the people and ultimately for Pharaoh. Okay? And because they worship the Nile. So to see that God is, and that this man is able to do this to the Nile, right, is itself the first step in counteracting Egypt, okay? But we'll deal with the signs a little later. I just want to see, you know, try and present the problem in terms of Moshe. He first says, what's my merit? What's their merit? Then he starts asking for God's names, which sounds a little chutzpahdik. What's the difference? They'll ask me your name. All right, what kind of question is that? They'll ask me your name. And then after Shem says, this is my name, and this is what you'll do, and you'll say, Yud Kei Vav Kei Elok Heinu has sent me. Right? So Moshe says, what if they don't believe me? And now they won't believe me. He said, V'hein lo yaminuli. It's almost like they will not believe me. Not like what if. I mean, he's really saying, they won't believe me. So it's really quite odd. So God gives them these signs. And then after he gives them the signs, and I mean, what more could you want? You've got this magic wand. You've got three fantastic tricks that you can go down there and blow their minds. And what does he say after all that? Verse 10. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem. And Moshe said to Hashem, Bi Adoni. Notice the word he's using. This is the first time Moshe's using the word Adonai. Verse 10. Chapter 4. Now this is the first time he uses the name Adonai. Now how does he know that name? We just learned. God told him that name. Right? But the Chumash is making it very clear to us that he called out to Hashem in that name. And of course, since God said to him, don't pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei, you pronounce Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so we would assume that that's what he said. But that's not what he said. It says, and Moshe said to Yud Kei Vav Kei, Be Adoni. Right? Or actually, Adonai. So the Chumash is making it very clear that Moshe's using the pronunciation as he was taught. Right? And keep that in mind. Lo ish devari manochi. I don't know how to speak. Gam mitmol, even yesterday, the gam shilshon, even 3 days ago. And it's here that the Gemara says that you see this has been 6 days already. Because he's saying, I'm not able to speak, not yesterday, not 3 days ago. Right? And the Gemara learns out the gum and the gum as meaning also yesterday and also, whenever you have an also, it includes another day. So the Gemara works out from this phrase that actually Moshe is arguing for 6 days. And he's saying, listen, since we've been speaking, I mean, you look at the way I speak. I still stutter, stammer. Because we know that Moshe was a stutter. And that's an amazing thing to think of. That God's choosing somebody who is not like a Charlton Heston. Right? Which would have been, you know, perhaps a much more interesting kind of messenger. Right? But you see, in the Ten Commandments movie, they could never do that. You don't pay somebody so much money to stutter. Right? And they probably couldn't understand the Chumash either. Like, this is ridiculous. Well, God must have made a mistake. We'll change the script. So they had Moshe not stuttering. But Moshe's stuttering over here. And he's saying, listen, I have a speech impediment. He said, I'm heavy of the mouth, I'm heavy of the tongue. Now, what is that? God just told him, I will be with you. His first question was, I'm not worthy. God said, well, I will be with you. So it's not you anyways, it's me. Right? And you are just going to be a vehicle and a vessel, and just make sure you do that. Right? How can you say that to God? How can you say, I mean, if God is asking you to go, so you'll probably figure it out. Right? Probably there'll be a miracle. Probably when I get down there, I'll really speak really well. I mean, what is Moshe doing? Now it becomes even more amazing to realize that the Ibn Ezra says on the word Bi Adoni, right? The Ibn Ezra says that Moshe says, I would rather you punish me just don't send me, please. All right? And he works it out from the word be, in terms of it's a language of please. And Adoni is generally a language of din. So he says, listen, I'd rather you just punish me. Just please, don't send me. And, I mean, Moshe could have prayed to Hashem. Instead of arguing, he said, well, Rabbona Shel Olam, please, may I speak? I mean, after you're able to do things with your wand, and I mean, after those type of miracles that God has already invested in you, you probably could have said, so then, please, may I speak well? And what are you getting involved with? What's it your business how you speak? God tells you to go, you go. Right? There's no new news to Hashem that you're not able to speak properly. And it is just amazing. What is Moshe trying to do over here? To the extent that the Ibn Ezra is saying that he said, I'd rather you punish me, just don't send me. Okay, so Hashem says to him, listen, who gave man the ability to speak? Who causes people to be deaf? And who causes the blind to see? And come on. Hello, Anochi Hashem. I am Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So what are you talking? Look who you're talking to. Are you talking to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the transcendental? Everything's in my hand. I'm above, I'm beyond. Right? Everything is a function of me. Who are you talking to? And he says, V'ata lech, and now go. And I will be with your mouth, and I will tell you how to speak. Now Moshe does it again. Verse 13, V'yomer bi Adonai. Please, Master, shlach na biyad tishlach. Please send with the hand that you will send. Right? And one understanding of this is that he's referring to Aharon. In fact, in verse 14, that would make sense shot-wise, because it says, and God got upset with Moshe, and he said, but your brother Aaron is a Levi, and I know that he will speak, and also he will go towards you, and he'll see you, and he'll be very happy. Right? Implying that he was referring to Aaron, and he's saying, listen, don't send me. I don't want to do this to my big brother Aaron. My big brother Aaron has been a prophet in Egypt. He's been having divine, communication for quite a while. Send him. He's my older brother. Right? And so, according to the simple pshat, he's saying, I don't want to do this to my brother. So maybe you'll send him. Right? And God says, look, I'll speak to you. And ultimately, Hashem makes Moses and Aaron a team, and they're going to go in. All right. And then they go. Moshe goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I don't know who this Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is. I've never heard this name. The Midrash says that he says, bring in the God directory. Right, look it up. Is this God registered here in Mitzrayim? I mean, I've heard of lots of gods, but I've never heard such a God. He says, not in my book. Sorry, get out of here. Right, this just shows you that the Jewish people have time to think about these kinds of things. They're probably not busy enough. So he brings even more torture and more oppression upon them. And what does it say after that? This is chapter 5, verse 22. V'yishav Moshe el Hashem. Moshe returned to Hashem. V'yomer. And again we see this word, Adonai. Lama hairosa la'am hazeh. Why have you done this evilness, brought upon this suffering to this people? Lama zeh shal chatani. Why? Lama zeh. Why is this? Right? Shal chatani. You have sent me. Yeah. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. He says, Me'az bati al paro l'deber b'shimcha. Since you have sent me to Pharaoh to speak in your name, Hera la'am hazeh, he's brought bad, right, and suffering to them, v'atzel lo itzaltet amecha, and you have not saved them. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe, and God said, Ata, now, tireh asher asel l'Pharaoh, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, ki b'yad chazakah yishalchem, because with a strong hand he will send you, b'yad chazakah yigarshem, and he will exile you, he will not even expect your return, he doesn't even want you back. And the Gemara learns from here, Gemara Sanhedrin, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, but you will not see it later. And that this, and Rashi brings this down, this is actually the punishment why Moshe does not go into Eretz Israel. So the Gemara says, I have revealed myself to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and they did not in any way wonder about my attributes, and they never asked me, what's my name? Right? They never did any of that. V'ata martali b'tchila, and you said to me, what's your name? And now you're saying to me, you didn't save them. Now you will see what I'll do to Paro. You will not see the other wars of the 31 kings referring to going into Eretz Israel. And therefore, according to this is his punishment. It's here that a decreed upon him is he's not returning to Eretz Israel. Well, I read verse 22, 23, and verse number 1 of chapter 6 till the end of the parsha. Now, this itself is quite amazing. I mean, I guess Moshe should have expected it. I mean, you're being a little chutzpahic. You're kind of moving a little too much. I mean, what is Moshe doing? Doesn't he realize that he was speaking Lashon Hara about the people? Doesn't he realize that he's being a little chutzpahic? Doesn't he realize that it sounds like he could be wrecking up the chances of redemption by saying, well, they're not worthy and I'm not worthy, right? So why are you doing this? And doesn't he realize that he's really going out on a limb and he's asking for it, right? He's asking for it, and yet he goes on and on and on. I mean, when you first read this, Moshe seems so silly that it's hard for us to believe that this is the person God has chosen. It just doesn't make any sense, and that's why it's so crucial to try and understand these verses. Because on simple reading, anybody would read this and say, oh, this Bible is so stupid. Right? I mean, what kind of guy is this? Hey, Moshe's got these little, you know, and he's still arguing. I mean, really, when you read it on a simple level, you just can't believe what is Moshe doing. Therefore, let's go back and let's try and figure out what is Moshe doing. Why is he doing this? So, in terms of what's my schut and what is their schut, their merit, what is Moshe asking? Moshe wants the ultimate redemption. And he believes that the ultimate redemption will be through their merit. And through his merit. And if this is coming and it's not their merit and it's not his merit, it must be clear that this is not the end of the exile. Right? And therefore there's something missing over here. And therefore he's not doing it because he doesn't feel like doing it or he's really being overly humble. But he's recognizing that as an Elohim, there's something missing over here. And that would mean that this redemption is incomplete. And the truth is, God said to him it's incomplete. Because when God answered him to what's your name, God said, I will be with you in this exile, I will be with you in the next exile. God says to him, well, this is not the end, Moshe. This really is not the end. And Moshe says, according to the oral tradition, he says, oh, I can't tell them that. I can't tell them there's another one of these exiles coming up. Right? So God says, okay, so just tell them I will be. Right? I will be. But even that, what is Moshe saying? I can't tell them that. Right? So keep that in mind. What is exactly he doing? So the first thing is, he says, it's not my merit, it's not their merit, so what are you doing? And Moshe is pushing, so to speak, and we will see this all the way down the line, that it's as if Moshe is pushing God to bring about the ultimate redemption. And this is why he's doing everything he's doing, we will see, is Moshe pushing God to bring about the ultimate redemption, to bring about the full manifestation of Olam Haba right now. And he put his life on the line and recognized he would be punished, but he did it out of Mesirat Nefesh, out of deliverance of his soul, the realization, the preparation to, so to speak, die, to bring about the ultimate redemption of the people and the ultimate manifestation of Hashem's oneness. He first says, what's our merit? This is going to be incomplete. And then so Hashem says, no, because it's not based on merit. Right? This is actually the greatest manifestation of compassion. Ah, Moshe says to himself, That's exactly what I wanted to hear. This is exactly what I wanted to hear. I wanted you to say that. I wanted Hashem to reveal in the world and articulate. So it's clear in the world right now that I can say this. That this is a manifestation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when Moshe said, what's our merit, Elohim? He was saying that, so to speak, so God would then say, it's not your merit, right? It's complete compassion. But there's also an indication over here that God said, well, it's the merit of the future. So Moshe pushes on. And it's like Moshe is this fearless leader who is willing, courageously, to take a step forward to almost, you might say, force and bring about the ultimate manifestation of Hashem's name in the world. So when Hashem says, it's my compassion, Moshe says to himself, this is not enough. What's your name? And you know, Moshe said that later on. What's your name? I want the revelation of your name. I don't want this to be incomplete. Let this be the complete redemption. Let this be the beginning of Olam Haba. So God says to him and gives him another answer. He says, what's your name? He pushes forward. Why is he doing it for himself? Moshe's doing this for the Jewish people. And I would say that Moshe's probably doing this for God, as we will see soon. Right? Proof for even that. That he wants to bring about the redemption and he's willing to put his life on the line to bring about the redemption of the people and the full manifestation and sanctification of Hashem's name. So he says, what's your name? So Hashem says, Elohim says to Moshe, and this is what Moshe wants. Moshe wants, he's addressing Elohim, and he wants Elohim to say, what's your name? I mean, he just said, V'yomer Moshe Elohim. He knows, I mean, I know your name, right? I just called you Elohim, right? And they're going to say to me, what's your name? There's a number of names. No, I want to be able to bring a light into Egypt so that they can hear your name. So he says, what's your name? They're going to ask me your name. And Moshe's not doubting the people over here. And nor is Moshe doubting God or himself. This is his way of pushing the Geula through. Right? And I would say maybe this is his merit of why he is the leader, and maybe this is exactly what God wants him to do, because this is the setup that he should be that person who brings that kind of light, who asks these kinds of questions of Hashem with the courage to ask those questions so that those answers could be brought into the world. Because Moshe says to Hashem, why do you bring evil upon the good? Why do you bring good upon the evil? Moshe asks questions. Why does he ask questions? Who is he, a doubting servant? He's not a doubting servant. But all the questions Moshe asks is for the purpose to bring, right? The awareness, the manifestation, the revelation of Hashem in the world. I would say this is called Birur Nitzotzot. This is what's called the clarification of the divine sparks that are in the world, to bring them to full recognition. So Hashem says, okay, Moshe, through his questions brought about God saying that I am Ekiah, which means that there is my divine immanence with you. And Moshe, question brought Elohim to also say, my name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Elokei Yivrim. You know, I am Yud Kei Vav Kei, the God of your fathers. But what does God then say? Moshe was successful in bringing into the world, with the courage of his question, to bring into the world the manifestation of that kind of oneness of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei Elohim. But God says, this is my name, I'm telling you, Moshe. Yud Kei Vav Kei. But this is how you'll mention me. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And you see, he pushes on and starts asking questions of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Because it's not enough. Moshe wants to bring it about that just as you are called, as you are written in this world, so you should be called in this world. Bring about the ultimate redemption. And for Am Yisrael, to bring about their redemption, and through his Mesirat Nefesh, for Hashem, so to speak, to bring the light of his oneness and bring the tikkun in the world now. So, Mesirat Nefesh means deliverance of your soul. In fact, we have over here in verse 18, that God says to say, chapter 3, God says to tell Pharaoh that we are to go and celebrate and worship Hashem Elokeinu. As far as I know, this is the first time we've seen the unification of that name since the beginning. And it's not complete because the beginning is Hashem Elokim. And that's only in the future. But we're talking about such serious scenes in divine, in the drama of divine oneness that now Hashem is saying, say to Pharaoh, Hashem Elokeinu. Because who should have said that to Pharaoh a long time ago? The snake? The first man should have said that. When the snake said, God doesn't want you to be like an Elohim, the first man's answer should have been Hashem Elokeinu, and you're wrong, snake. God wants me to be like God, but I choose to do His will because Hashem Elokeinu. Right? Anyways. So, I will give them. God says, I won't listen to you, right? But don't worry, they're going to come out. Not only are they going to come out, but the most amazing thing is going to be, people who hate you are going to love you. Because before they go, I'm going to give the love, the chain of the people upon the people, and they're going to give you, as presents, all their silver and all their gold. Now, can you imagine this? When the Jewish people left Egypt, everybody gave silver and gold. Right? I mean, these people have hated them for 210 years, right? And now, oh, here, take presents. And it says, you'll ask them. And the commentaries say, not borrow, ask them, could you please give me a present before we go? Just like a little, you know, going away present. Oh, sure, sure. And they knocked it off and they started giving them gold and silver. Okay? So after that, Moshe says in chapter 4, verse 1, says, they won't believe me. Moshe's speaking Moshe Hara now. Come on. Moshe, you should know better than say, they won't believe me. They say, maybe they won't believe me. Or what should I do if they don't? And even that, God's got it all worked out, Moshe. Don't worry. Why are you asking so many questions? Because God's got it all worked out, but Moshe wants that to be brought into the world through his questions. And it's clear we have enough proof in Midrashim that says that Moses' heart was pure, right? And the Midrash says that when Moshe argued with God, it was because he empathized with the pain of the Jewish people, so he must really love the Jewish people. And it doesn't make any sense to take someone like Moshe and say he's just speaking Lashon Hara like that. But why is Moshe saying this? What does Moshe want now? Moshe was pushing for the name of compassion. Moshe was then pushing, I want more than just to be revealed that this is compassion. I want your name of compassion. And Moshe pushed forward and said, what if they don't believe me? What does Moshe want? Exactly what he got. I want a physical sign of your Yichud Hashem in the world right now. I want a physical sign in the world. And all this is Moshe, you have to imagine Moshe bringing that light into the world through his Mesirat Nefesh. And the fact that it says that he was punished, I mean, he gets leprosy and this and that, I would say that he knows he's going to get that. That's what Mesirat Nefesh means. When a person is putting their life out on the line for the Jews, for God's name, they do it with the understanding that they might get punished. But they're willing to do that. And this is a very high level that Moshe's at, of course. Right? We can't, I mean, we have to see that this is not a silly man who's asking silly questions because he's incompetent. But Moshe is that brilliant prophet who is going to be the source of Torah in the world ultimately. Not the source, but the conduit of Torah. Yaakov was the source of Torah. And he's pushing forward, and in fact, now he gets a sign. Right? And the signs that he gets are, in fact, themselves symbols of God's oneness. Because a staff turning into a snake and turning back into a staff is really quite a weird kind of symbol. A snake, of course, the first snake. And God is demonstrating to Moshe that which you rely on could transform into a source of danger. And yet that which seems like a source of danger, you can just grab it by its tail, which the Zohar says is the most deadliest place of that snake. And God says, just grab it by its tail and it will turn into a support. What an image. This is the whole idea, how the snake turns into your support. That itself is the great manifestation of Hashem's oneness, of Hashem Elokim. that even that, that the darkness will be transformed into light. This is Olam Haba talk. Because in Olam Haba, even on the bad things, you're going to say Baruch Hashem. Because even darkness in Olam Haba will be transformed into light. And so he really got that kind of a symbol. Put your hand into your cloak, right? Turns into leprosy, right? Put your hand back into the cloak, turns into a healthy arm. The same reason, the source of your leprosy will be the source of your health, right? That itself, the unification of those opposites, is a great manifestation of Hashem's oneness. So Moshe brought into the world now miracles. He brought into this world symbols which are manifestations of God's oneness, which is what he's pushing for. Well, it's not enough. Moshe then says, after he's got all these signs, Moshe then says in verse 10, and Moshe says to Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. That's very interesting, because it could have said, and Moshe said, Be Adonai. Right? As he says, even later on, in verse 13. So why does it say Moshe says to Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, Be Adonai? So he says, I am not a person of speech, you know. Don't send me. Now, all the Mephorshim try to deal with this. Right? What is Moshe doing? And the Ramban says that Moshe was actually saying, listen, if when I go and I go to Pharaoh and I show him all these tricks and I show the people all these tricks and Pharaoh doesn't believe me, right? This will be Mamish Achil Hashem. Right? Now, that's an amazing thing. This will be a desecration of your name. And, you know, someone like me going in and stuttering, right, in your name, this is Achil Hashem. Now, can you imagine this? The Ramban is saying that Moshe is pleading for God's honor. Don't send me. This is a Chilul Hashem. Like, God doesn't know it's a Chilul Hashem. All right. Well, what kind of questions are these? And yet we again see here that Moshe is not doing it for himself, and he's willing to be punished according to Ibn Ezra, just don't send me. And what is he willing to be punished for? He just doesn't want the job. All right. So, if you say he's doing because he wants our own, so then we're talking about someone on the greatest level of brotherly love. He in no way wants to do anything before his older brother, something that reminds us of Cain and Hevel. Anyways, Hevel is Moshe is the reincarnation of Hevel, according to the Book of Reincarnation. So there are these underlying patterns going on over here. So you could say that he wants it, or you say that he's doing for Chil Hashem, but we're talking about he's not just chickening out. He's not being overly humble, but he's doing it in the name of Hashem for the sanctification of God's name. And I might say that perhaps Moshe is doing all this to test himself. That he is pushing himself to prepare himself that it is God that's with me and nothing that I do is taken personally. And maybe this itself is what he's doing. The fact that he's pushing himself so far to try and get away from doing this itself might be his way of preparing himself to do it with a proper intention that I've done everything I can to not do this. So that if I do end up doing it, right, it was not because I really wanted to do it, personally. Right? And this is his greatness. Because it says there was no humble person like Moshe. And this sounds like that he's being crazy. But this is his humbleness. That he pushed himself to that point, that he was almost ready to be punished for this. And this itself was his way of making sure that if it is going to be me in the end, I've done everything in my power that it was not me in the end, so that it will be a pure sanctification of Hashem's name. Right? And again, he's doing it in the name of Hashem. And after Hashem says, I will give you the, mouth, don't worry. He says, please send with he who you will send. Now, the pshat is that he's saying, please send it with Aaron, who until now has been doing your mission because Aaron would be had a communication with Hashem in Mitzrayim, according to your old tradition. But the Perkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is a midrash, and also the Targum Yonason says, send. What does it mean? Shlach na biyad tishlach. Send, please, with the hand that you will send. Send, do this with the person you will send in the future. Let Eliyahu HaNavi do this. Because Eliyahu HaNavi is going to bring the final redemption. And Moshe was pushing for the final redemption. And he was putting life on the line to try and bring about that this is not I shall be as I shall be. I can't say this to them. So like, let's make this the final redemption. Right? No. And he's still pushing because Moshe wants us to be the most complete manifestation of Hashem's name. He wants to bring Olam Haba right now. Right? I mean, basically, Moshe really was the first who brought in, we want Mashiach now. This is the source, right? Moshe sang it long time ago. And he said, please send who you will send. Let it be Eliyahu HaNavi. Right? And the bear Moshe brings in, I don't know his source, but it's beautiful, a hint. That biyad, right, is the initials of David ben Ishai. David, Dalid, Ben, Bet, Yishai, Yud. And he was hinting, let it be Eliyahu, let David HaMelech, right, come already. And this is what he was pushing for. The ultimate redemption is what he wanted. The ultimate manifestation of Hashem's name, and he did this in a way that he was willing to be punished. Right? This itself is his great humbleness. This itself is what makes him into Moshe. Right? That kind of courage in the face of Hashem to bring about the sanctification of Hashem's name on earth with the chance of he sacrificing his own Olam Haba for that and doing it completely with Shem Shemayim. Well, when he finally does go, and things don't work out as planned, or it seems like as planned, Moshe then comes back and says, so why did you send me for? Right? Why did you send me? And again, we can't understand what is Moshe doing over here. So let's look at that verse. Chapter 5, verse 22. And Moshe returns to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And he says, Adonai, Lama Hairosa Lam Hazeh, why are you bringing bad upon the people? Lama Zeh Shalachtani, why is it this that you sent me? Now the Bear Moshe said something, and based on that, we can understand something very, very deep here. Moshe is asking, why are you sending me in the name of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud? Because what did we learn in the Gemara about that name Adonai? The Gemara juxtaposed, in the next world you will say, blessed is he who is good and gives good, even on the tragedies. But in this world you won't. And right after that the Gemara says his name will be one, and that day God will be one, his name will be one. In this world, God is called Aleph Dalet Nun. In the next world, God will be called Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And that's what Moshe wants. Because Aleph Dalet Nun Yud means that we live in this world with the recognition that what's bad will be good. Because the Gemara said, and Olam Haba will know that. But in this world, we'll have to recognize it's bad. And be on the level of, but this will ultimately be good. Not that this is good. Right? In this world, when bad things happen, Jews have the emunah to say, well, somehow this will ultimately be good. Right? This will bring forth goodness. I guess we need this for what we have to achieve. But in the next world, we'll be able to look at that very same tragedy that in this world we were only able to say, well, this will bring about good. And when they were looking and say, it was mamish good at that moment. Right? And in the Olam Haba perspective, that darkness transforms into light. Not only becomes a conduit to light, it is light. And that's what Moshe was saying. He's saying, why can't this be the full redemption? And he was pushing forward. Why Yud Kei Vav Kei? Can't we call you Yud Kei Vav Kei? Why does it have to be Zeh Zichri Lador Vador? Why does it have to be just your mentioning? Why does it have to be in this level? And he was most ineffective. And why? And the Midrash said because he had such pain for Am Yisrael that they have to suffer just a little more. And because of his love for Am Yisrael and his identification with their pain, he again stood up before Hashem and said, not like, oh, this is not working. I told you this is a bad idea. We can't say that's the pshat. That's ridiculous. Right? What did you send me for? I can't do this. But he's saying, why did you send me in this name? Why can't this be the ultimate redemption? Why can't this be Olam Haba already? Right? And this is Moshe's power. And what does God refer to? What does God say to him when he says this? And this is the beginning of Vayera. V'yidaber Elohim el Moshe. And God said to Moshe, V'yomer lav ani yud kei vav kei. And this is dramatic. That Elohim says to Moshe, I am yud kei vav kei. All the din that you see is just compassion. I'm telling you, you're going to see it. Right? You got to wait. Right? And don't worry, because this is all going to bring about the ultimate redemption. But basically what we've seen over here is that Moshe is not this silly man who's running away from responsibility, afraid, without courage, a fearful man who just doesn't know how to deal with things. But it's clear when you read this carefully, Moshe is going out on a limb for the Jews and for God. He is asking questions to bring the answers into the world. And he's that man who asks questions. And God says, you know, the forefathers didn't ask questions, right? And I told them I tell you my name is still asking questions. And Moshe gets punished for this, and yet the Midrashim clearly show that Moshe was always on the highest level and God always loved Moshe. And there's places that even prove that Moshe wasn't even punished. Either Moshe was punished or Moshe wasn't punished. Even Moshe's punishment was his schar. What's his reward? His reward was that he was willing to do everything in his power and allow himself to be punished and even be punished, and to know that he did that and accept that punishment will be his ultimate reward, that he did that for Am Yisrael. This is what's going on over here. Phenomenal pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And that pasuk really captures so much of the style of what's going on over here. And the pasuk goes like this. Yirmiyahu 12, verse 1. Tzadik ata Hashem, you are righteous, Hashem, ki ariv alecha, although I fight with you. Ariv alecha, I argue with you. Ach mishpatim edaber otcha. But you are principles, I will speak with you. It's an interesting verse. You are righteous, Hashem, although ki, or just as, or when, I am fighting with you. And Rashi says something over there that really gives us support for what's going on over here. Et vakech imcha. I am arguing with you. Yadati ki hatzedek bidvarecha. I know that righteousness is in your words. Ach chafetz ani, but I want lidaber mishpatim itcha, to talk principles with you. Lahodini darchecha, so that you will make known to me your ways. Why am I arguing with you, God? I have no doubts. I just want you to reveal to me your ways. Right? And that's what Moshe is doing over here. Do you think that all his arguing with God is based on he has doubts on God's abilities? He's got doubts about God's decision to choose him? Do you think that one moment that Moshe has doubts about him, the Jewish people, about God, and he's arguing? That's ridiculous. Rather, his argument was a way to bring about Hodini Darchecha. Tell me your ways, which is something that we see about Moshe. he wanted to bring God's ways into the world. He wanted to bring the redemption, the full redemption. He wanted to bring into the world the level of Olam Haba, that the way I am written is the way I am read. And he argued to reveal God's ways in the world.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.